could you start by telling us your story and what happened to you, and yeah, take it from then?
It was back in 2014, literally just a couple of weeks back from this, actually. I started to feel unwell with a very bloated tummy, running to do a wee more often, quite fatigued. And then I was suddenly experiencing severe pain on my left-hand side of the abdomen. And I was backwards and forwards to doctors. After a few weeks, I thought I needed to go. And I saw two different GPs over a period of 3 months. And each time I went, which was quite a struggle sometimes, they were just changing laxatives because they felt I had a blockage. As I say, this went on for 3 months. My family said I should need to do more, and I ended up in A&E, Kingston A&E, eventually, in April, actually on my 68th birthday, so it wasn't a very nice birthday present. But the doctor there was amazing. Once she saw me, she couldn't believe how I'd been left for 3 months in such a condition. I looked 5 months pregnant by this time because the fluid builds up so much in you. And she was amazing. The dust didn't settle under her feet before I knew it. I'd had a CA125, which is the crucial start to a possible diagnosis of ovarian cancer. It's a mere blood test, but it's not the be-all and end-all, but that's where you've got to start, which she did. I'd had x-rays. Before I knew it, I was in a bed in a ward, then quickly taken off for a CT scan. Later that day, was told they had found two tumours, one on my left ovary and one on my bowel. I was in there for 5 days, which was Kingston, and they'd referred me in the meantime to the Royal Marsden in Chelsea. Went home, but ended up, sadly, for a couple more days after visiting A&E in Kingston. Then started to have examinations at Marsden, and they confirmed, yes, I had definitely got ovarian cancer, high-grade stage 2. And I'd also, this tumour on my bowel, it meant that I may have to have a stoma when I had my radical surgery, which happened 9 hours long. And when I woke up, yes, I did have a stoma, so I'd had a bowel reconstruction. That's a bit daunting, having to learn to deal with that. I had a great stoma nurse, and she gave me the confidence, and you have no choice, you have to get on with it. Everything's prepared for you, there's no worries in getting supplies, everything's dealt with by the hospital. It's a mere phone call from you as and when that's needed. I had six rounds of chemotherapy. I had blood infusions, and had to have a break in the chemotherapy. My veins didn't like needles for a while, so I ended up with a pick, and that continued, and things were great after that. And then I had to have blood transfusions because I was anemic. So it was a case of just getting stronger, going back for checkups after all of that, which, as I say, started around this time, end of January, beginning of February 2014, and chemo and everything else finished about October that year. So going backwards and forwards for checkups, they then said to me the following year, around May time, that they thought my bowel had healed quite well, and they thought I could have a reversal done, which was really good news, obviously. Some ladies aren't as lucky as me. And I did have that done in June. It wasn't very pleasant for a short while afterwards. And again, it's quite daunting because you then have to realise I'm working on my own now. I haven't done that for over a year. So, yes, that can be quite an anxious time, really. You don't know whether you're going to be in awful pain. Are things going to work normally straight away? So that's quite a challenging point if you do have to have a stoma. But it didn't take really that long, and things did did all fall into place. And I then started to have checkups, I think, initially about every month. And I'm now very lucky at the stage of being 10 years on. I just go once a year for my oncology check. I do go more regularly because, unfortunately, a couple of months after my surgery, it was found that I had chronic bronchial lymphedema, which is all to do with having a lot of lymph nodes taken away at the same time in the surgery. So I have to do a daily manual manipulation to get the lymph and fluid moving. Wear horrible compression garments, but it's a small price to pay for me to be able to say, having been told my prognosis was 3 to 5 years, it's nice to say sometimes they get it wrong, and here I am at 10 years on. I got involved with Target Ovarian Cancer in 2017. That was really due to my daughter. She found that they were doing a charity walk, so we decided that we would register. So my husband, my granddaughter and I went up and were greeted by their chief executive, Amrin Jones. And she said for me to meet her afterwards, as I was a stranger to the bunch. And from that day, as my husband said I would be, I've just been hooked. And I just want to help them because I want to help get as much awareness out there for ladies. I don't want people to suffer the way I suffered, especially those first 3 months when I was getting nowhere. And for us to try and get early diagnosis, if anybody feels they have these symptoms, the prime symptoms are bloating, needing to wee more, the pain, and just if your doctor's a bit hesitant, just say, please could I have a CA125, and hopefully you get a good result. But if not, that gets you onto a very quick pathway for getting an early diagnosis, because that is crucial. And that again is what I'm fighting with Target Ovarian Cancer, for us to try and get people to get early diagnosis by knowing what the symptoms are, and trying to save lives, because there are 7,000 women diagnosed every year in the UK, and 11 of those ladies die every day, which in our minds, obviously, in everybody's minds, that's just not good enough. So I put up my all with them, really, campaigning, fundraising. I've been to number 10 Downing Street, which was an amazing honour. We took just over 2,000 signatures of everybody trying to push for more help, more money for research, for government to help Target Ovarian Cancer and other ovarian cancer charities, but obviously we were fighting for Target, for more money for research, and Target give an awful lot of money to research and for support nurses. Some people need that out-of-family support, somebody that's not close to them to talk to, and Target Ovarian support nurses are incredible. So money is needed to have those ladies there with us to give that support. So fundraising is vital, and it can be done in many ways. I've been on stations with buckets, charity walk, as I said before, and this month, March being our awareness month, big thing is called Elevenses. It's for everybody to try and just get friends together for coffee morning. It can be quite simple, coffee and cake. You can make more of it, which I usually do. I usually go to local companies and ask whether they donate gifts so that we can have a really good raffle, which makes a lot of money. And I usually have varying stores, bookstores, or you can just have a brickbrack store, plants, whatever. But it's hard work. It's hard work. But when you see that money at the end of your day, that hard work's all been worth it, because you know that's going towards trying to help somebody survive ovarian cancer in the best way possible, improve treatments, and have those support nurses there for the ladies that really need it. If anybody is concerned and would like to know more, they can always Google by just going on to Target Ovarian Cancer's website, and there is so much information there, and it is very, very genuine information. And contact them if you know just for anything, really. They're an incredible team of people, and you will get help straight away from them, I can assure you.
Why do you think there's less awareness around ovarian cancer than breast cancer and bowel cancer? Like, you see that everywhere.
Just seems to be pushed back all the time. As hard as we try, it doesn't seem to come to the forefront at all. But a few months ago, after many, many attempts, I had an interview with Ed Davey, the local Liberal Dem MP here, and he said he would do his utmost. He was very interested. He took lots of information from me that I had gathered from Target Ovarian. He felt it's something that should be brought up in Parliament. But whether that is going to be the case, and it brings our need forward, but it is needed. I mean, the UK, more people die of ovarian cancer in the UK every year than any other gynaecological cancer, which is horrendous, as you know, to think that all the other cancers are pushed out there. So, you know, we really want to come up to the top with the rest, because it's awful to hear that this cancer is ignored and more women are dying from that than any of the others, really. And some ladies think they go and have a cervical smear, oh, that might show up if I have ovarian cancer. There is no screening as yet for ovarian cancer, and that, of course, is another fight that we want to get some sort of screening brought forward for ovarian cancer. It's just so important. I was one of the naive ladies when I was diagnosed. I had not got a clue. I thought I had a cancer because I could actually feel a lump, even though these two GPs said they couldn't. But it's just so, the symptoms are just not recognised. You know, the GPs are saying, oh, you've got IBS, you've got diverticulitis, you know, and this is why we're saying, you know, if they're saying that sort of thing to you, as I said, you know, just ask them, or please, could I have a CA125? I didn't know to ask for that at the time, so now I know to say to others, you know, don't get pushed away. Just say to them, you know, if they can't do it, get a practice nurse to do it. You know, it's a blood test, 2 minutes of their time, and that could save that lady's life. Really. So I think, you know, all that sort of thing has been said, the amount of ladies in the UK and how many survive from that 7,000. We've pushed with 10 Downing Street, trying to get signatures across to them. Yeah, I think, you know, and got through for the 11s, and if anyone wants to do that, you know, I've said about the website.